to a complete realization and a fully founded faith in trusting in Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for your sins, you know you're still a sinner. And in the context of that opening, it's not the people that commit some sin and ask for forgiveness in the moment. We're all sinners like that too. We know we get angry. We know we lose our temper. We know that we think thoughts that we shouldn't think. We know that we interact with people and say things that are hurtful. We know that we commit sins and that we ask for forgiveness. Not talking about that kind of sinner, but rather the kind of sinner that has a very dark past. A few skeletons in the closet. Some bad memories. We all have a past that is filled with all kinds of memories. And the kind of memories that we are dealing with today in our change issue is the kind of memory that plagues us from our sinfulness. That kind of bad memories. Rebecca is a married woman who gave her life to Christ as a teenager at camp. She stayed faithful most of the way through high school, but one night made a few bad choices and found herself to be with child. She was scared and alone and made the decision to terminate. Now, as a wife of 15 years and a mother of two, she struggles daily with feelings of grief, depression, anger. Her husband, David, just found out about her past, and he loves his wife, but he doesn't know how to help her. The simple fact that she had kept her past from him for so long through the premarital counseling and 15 years of marriage only makes her feelings of guilt that much more acute. Adam owns a recording studio and is beginning to make a career for himself. But last year, he had a huge argument with his dad over the loan that his father gave him. He hadn't at that time paid any of it back. He wants to now, but he said some very nasty things to his father, and they haven't spoken since that argument. Adam has started waking up with nightmares from his past. Maybe you're not Rebecca or Adam, but you are a person with a past. And at some point, these bad memories, these dark situations, these failures jump up and say, "Remember me?" And those memories go into many different directions. Most of them usually are not good. So what can a person do? Where is their hope? How can you and I, beloved, deal with these bad memories from our past? Maybe you share with some people that this is happening, and you tell a good friend of yours who comes to church with you and who has prayed with you over the years, and maybe they tell you, just get over it and move on. Don't worry about it. God has forgiven you. You just need to trust him. Well, you've tried it, but it hasn't exactly worked. Every once in a while, that memory will jump up and say, "Remember me?" Or maybe you've gone the super spiritual route. Maybe you heard a preacher on TV, or you've read in a book, or somebody gave you a pamphlet, and you see these memories as demon attacks and attacks of the devil to make you feel guilty. And so you try the spiritual deliverance route. And that didn't work either. Or maybe you've tried to deal with those bad memories by getting involved. You know, keep yourself busy, keep going, keep going, keep going, and eventually you'll feel you'll be good enough for having done so much good that those memories, those bad memories, will be outnumbered. You'll have so many good things to remember. Beloved, none of those approaches work, because none of them are biblical. What? Trusting God isn't biblical? Well, they all have elements of Scripture in them. There are demons. The world and the flesh and the devil work in concert against the people of God to create all kinds of havoc. But you see, the reason why those approaches are wrong and not biblical is not because they don't involve some form of Scripture or some argument within the book itself. It's because they aim at the wrong outcome. They aim at making you better. And that is not what God is all about. Disclaimer. God is about conforming you to the image of Christ, and that is better. God is not in the business of making you the best you can be without Christ. That's what I meant. It's an important distinction. That's why they're wrong. They aim at the wrong outcome. To rid the memory, just forget the memory, or work hard to replace the memory, have no room for the cross, beloved. The goal isn't to wipe the memory slate clean. That's not the goal. That's the wrong outcome. The goal is to be a redeemed person. And that, beloved, includes a redeemed memory. When we encounter this personal trouble, we can gain a better perspective if we remember just a few things. Remember just a few things. Do you see what I did there? Bad memories, remember a few things. Yeah. That's okay. Of first importance is to know and stand on the truth that God was there. God was in your past. You were not alone. You weren't forgotten. You weren't too far from Him that He neglected you. And it is His intention to turn that past failure into something good. Something that will bring glory to His name. Just like Joseph in Genesis 50 understands that which his brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. Just like that. Or, like Paul says in Romans 8, verses 28 and 29, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purposes. These aren't just good verses to memorize and recite. Anyone can do that. The backdrop is to see that God is there in your past, and He can take those past failures and turn them into something good. So we realize that He was there. Next, we realize that your past does not control your future. God does. Now, certainly, your past decisions may influence your future. You may have some stuff you need to... let's just say you were texting and you ran over my mailbox. Nobody got hurt, just a little property damage. Okay, that's in the past, let's just forget it. No, you're going to pay for my mailbox. Yes, God was in your past, and He's going to turn it into something good. But running over my mailbox, there's restitution to be paid. God controls your past, and certainly the decisions that you have made may influence your future, but it does not determine them. That I will hate you for the rest of my natural life because you ruined my mailbox. No. There are consequences to sin, but you and I are not enslaved by it. We are forgiven and set free in Christ. Will we believe that is true and live this moment in that truth with full responsibility for our present choices, not surrender to some idea that we cannot escape our past? Can Adam move forward in such a way in Christ and get rid of his nightmares. Remember that you weren't alone. Realize that your past does not control your future. And the final piece of this perspective that helps us is to realize how it is that you view your past. You look upon the events of your past and you interpret them. You and I look at the things we've done, the things we've said, how we have lived, and we interpret them a certain way. We give ourselves color commentary on our perception of those past events. And beloved, because they are interpreted one way by us, they can be reinterpreted another way. A better way. A redeemed way. Through the gospel. Through the cross of Christ, you and I will be able to interpret things differently, just like Joseph did. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. You will know that God, who is all-powerful and all-loving, is in control of all of your life, even your past. So, a little perspective. When those bad memories jump up and grab you and they say, "Remember me?" And it doesn't have to be something huge. I was a little guy, probably about Mason's age. And my sister, she had this beautiful purple bedspread. And it had fringe and frill on the bottom. And one day, I was bored, so I laid down and I started pulling out the fringe. And I got a really long piece of purple thread, and I made a bow and arrow out of it. It was really cool. And when my sister found out, she told my dad, and I got in a lot of trouble. I still feel bad about that. "Oh, come on, you were just a little boy." That purple bedspread meant something to my sister, and I ruined it. I ruined it. Does that mean that I'm not forgiven? No. But bad memories jump up, and they say, "Remember when you did this? How you hurt your sister?" Yeah, I remember. What do you do with that? It doesn't have to be huge. It can be absolutely anything. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, we see a little bit about what it looks like to have this kind of redeemed memory. Paul writes to Timothy when Paul, is at near the end of his life. He's in prison and he's probably going to be dying very soon. And he writes these letters to Timothy, who's a very young pastor of a metropolitan church, to encourage him in the faith. And Timothy's got some stuff. I mean, he's got some stomach trouble. He's got some false teachers around. He's got a leadership board that might be a little bit heady, a little bit, you know, strong arm, because he's a young man. People that kind of think that he doesn't know what he's doing. But in this portion of God's word, we too can find some encouragement. And first of all, the encouragement is that Paul does not forget or avoid or remove his past, but rather he sees it through the point of view of Almighty God and his gospel. And in that, Paul, is able to rightly interpret and handle his past because he knows that his past has been used by God to bring about glory for his name. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service even though I was formerly a blasphemer." And a persecutor. And a violent aggressor. "Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief." Well, you say to me, well, yeah, that's the hook. Because he wasn't a believer when he did those things. That is completely irrelevant to the situation. It is still his past. Paul was not a perfect human being, even in his present. And he remembers what he did in his past. And in seeing his past from God's point of view, there is a deepening repentance over it. It's not just one and done. Yep, took care of it at the cross, don't have to worry about it anymore. No. There is a godly sorrow in Paul over his past. He doesn't avoid it. Paul was a blasphemer, which in his society and in the Jewish faith is punishable by the death penalty. They stoned blasphemers. Stoned them. Dead. He persecuted the church of God. He was there present when Stephen, the first Christian martyr in Acts chapter 7, was stoned to death. The people that were stoning him brought their cloaks, their outer garments, their coats, and laid them at the feet of a young Pharisee named Saul, who is Paul. He pretty much superintended the death of the first Christian martyr. That's a past. And he further unpacks his past sin by telling us that he was a violent man. Why on earth would he bring this up in a letter to encourage a young pastor? Why would he even admit it? Why would a man like Paul, who God used mightily as a missionary, and everything we remember about Paul are his great missionary endeavors and all of that, why would he bring up blasphemer, persecutor, violent? Why? Because Paul knows that his past isn't the end of his story. He isn't haunted by such sin. No, he fully sees what God has done for him in showing him mercy. That's why he brings it up. I remember not too long ago, I shared some of my past with some of Andrew's friends. And one of them was particularly taken back by the fact that I used drugs when I was younger. And I did inhale. I guess that qualifies me for public office. I don't know. But I have a past, beloved. I am not Lily White on my own. But I have been redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm still not perfect. But I do know that God has shown me mercy. If God hadn't shown me mercy, I probably would be dead by now. Beloved, when your past comes calling and it jumps up and says, "Remember me," answer by saying, "Why, yes, I do. I do remember you. And I know that Jesus Christ has shed his very own blood so that I could be forgiven. I have been shown mercy by Almighty God." When the past brings up shame, let it be used. Let the shame be used by the Holy Spirit to deepen your repentance. Now, some people would say that Christians aren't supposed to feel shame. They say it's wrong and sinful. They're wrong. It is true that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But Scripture sees shame from the past very differently. Once that past has been redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ. Keep your finger here in 1 Timothy. We're coming back real quick, but jump back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. Or, you know, it's a long way back there. Just listen up. Ezekiel, and write it down if you want. Ezekiel 16, verses 60 through 63. Well, that's not the New Testament, Pastor. That has nothing to do with the cross. Want to bet? This is God speaking. "Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both your older and younger. And I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant. Thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, so that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares." He's not saying to forget your past. He is saying you will remember your past and you will remember in that shame that I have forgiven you. For it is not your covenant, but my covenant, the new covenant in my blood that will wash you from your sins. And then turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 36, verses 22 and following. This is a very famous passage. This is the passage where God is saying that I will take out of you a heart of stone and put in you a heart of flesh and save you. Starting at verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it, and I will not bring a famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the trees and the produce of the field, so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abomination. I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited. God says, don't forget. As a matter of fact, he says, I want you to remember. But I want you to know that you have been redeemed by me, that I'm the one that picked you up and washed you from all of your filthiness. Don't forget. Remember. And then that memory, far from being a bad thing, godly shame is affirmed in Scripture. And that deepening repentance in turn encourages us, as it did Paul to Timothy, because it led him to a deepening gratitude of who God is and what he had done. We don't stand up here and throw our hands up in the air and worship God from a position of equals, or because we're so good and so holy and that our worship should be acceptable to him. We worship him and throw our hands up to God and praise him because of who he is and what he has done, remembering from whence we came. Mindful that we are but dust, and because of his son, Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven and our past is redeemed. Look at it. 1 Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service even though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy. And the grace of our Lord was more abundant with the faith and love that are found. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yet for this reason, I found mercy. It produces a deepening gratitude. Paul says he is thankful because he has been shown mercy. Have you been shown mercy? Does it create praise in you so that when you remember, when your past jumps up and says, remember me, you say, oh yeah, yeah, but I've been redeemed. I've been washed. I'm clean. Yes, I am still sorry. And yes, I sin every day. But I am so grateful that Jesus Christ died for my sins and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. In the midst of his recall of his sinful past, he rejoices in what God has done towards him and with that past. The grace of God was poured out on him, the worst of sinners. Paul was the worst of sinners? Does he think that? Is he? No, beloved. He's a sinner, just like the rest of us. And as he views his sin, he is the worst. He's not comparing himself to somebody else saying, well, my sin isn't as bad as theirs. And he's not being compared by Timothy or the church that he's serving. Well, that person's holy. They can get up and do this. That person's not holy. They can't get up and do this. Or whatever. What would you do if Adolf Hitler walked through those doors and sat on the front row? What would be going on in your heart if he were to get up here and tell you that Christ has forgiven him and redeemed his soul of the evil and the filth and put a new heart in him and isn't denying what he did? What would you do? I know, beloved, there is a deepening repentance over one's past, which leads to a louder praise. There was a man back east. He was an interesting guy. He was really rough. He was kind of bald, and he had some scars on his head, and he had a raspy voice. And he saw some prison time because he was not a good boy. He was a bad boy. And he'd come to church, and he'd sit on the front row, and it was a hymn singing church, okay? But when he was there, you couldn't hear anybody else but him because he was so loud. And it annoyed people. Excuse me. I don't know where he is today. His name was Joe. He had been redeemed and he loved God, and he showed that through his voice. And he wasn't perfect after that. Still very earthy. When you're outside and you're mud running or you're working in the fields and you're getting all sweaty and you got the weed all over you and it's inside the truck and it's in your teeth and you're coughing it up and you got all that junk all over you, how does it feel to get in that hot shower and have that water just pour all over you so that your hands can move again? And as each layer gets washed off, as that water is poured from the head of the shower, how do you feel? Paul says that God's mercy has been poured out on him. And finally, from Scripture, we see that as Paul continues to repent and appreciate the grace of God, it leads him to continue to help others. He knows and understands the value of having, acknowledging, and being grateful for a redeemed past is so that other people will see the unlimited patience of Christ and come to his cross in repentance and seek salvation in the only one who can. I found mercy so that in me, the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ, might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. And then he ends with a doxology. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, you can see Paul on the front row being Joe. Praising God with full voice. Beloved, that's the cross. That's how we deal with change and bad memories. Not to avoid and eradicate and remove and forget, but to remember and praise God for being redeemed. If you're not redeemed, come to the cross now. Don't wait until I give an invitation and an example prayer and all that kind of a thing. Come to Jesus Christ and be washed clean of it all and have your past redeemed by faith and the love that comes through Christ. One author puts it this way, and I close with this. He's a personal friend of mine. His name is Bob Jones, not related to the Bob Jones. You may not be able to prevent memories from arising. Painful thoughts might still intrude without invitation. Yet you don't need to erase them or escape that. They do not have to destroy you. Your Redeemer is bigger than your past. In Christ, your past can be redeemed. You can learn to reinterpret it biblically as 1 Timothy 1 teaches, a gospel-centered understanding of your past sin. An understanding of your past sin deepens your repentance, it heightens your gratitude for God's saving grace, and it broadens your effectiveness in helping others with wisdom and compassion. So last week we took a look at worry and how it is that the gospel changes that. Today we tried to look at bad memories in our past and when it jumps up, how the gospel changes that. And for the next few weeks, we'll continue to look at how the gospel changes us because of who Christ is. Amen? Amen. And so we turn together in grateful praise and in prayer for those who need a touch from God, those who are hurting and grieving. And we praise him together for his mercy and grace. Are there praises or prayer requests that you have this day? Michaela. You guys had one? Sweet. That's awesome. Just praising God for seeing you at the poll at Winnie Mac and here in Fertile and the people that turned out for it. Amen. Jody? Tim Petrie's mom? Can you get any more detail out or no? She can't. Just struggling. Okay, that's good. Wendy, I heard you piping up. I just didn't see you. Or was it Quinn? Today? Sweet, did you bring cake? Hurry, you can go now. I think Alan Laura's are still open. No, I'm only kidding. Well, bless God. And how old are you, Noah? 8? Is that what you said? Sweet. There was somebody else behind Jody that had their hand up over here, or no? Okay, maybe not. Sue. Laura is starting her chemo. I didn't get a chance to talk to Marlene, but I see her dead center there. And I know that radiation is going well, at least the first couple were. And she's about 3 sessions in out of 25, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So please pray for her as she travels and gets those treatments. Did that just about cover it? No side effects at this point. Praise God. Randy.
Out there in Oldfield, though, they witnessed the 4 Muslim men, and they sound very interested, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to bring them here.
4 Muslim men witness, and hopefully to bring them here. They are interested. I don't know if many of you know this, if you get the right kind of articles and blogs and those kinds of things. There is a move of the Holy Spirit going on in the Middle East among militant Muslims that's absolutely supernatural. Muslim men, militant Muslim men, are having dreams and visions of Christ, and they are seeking Christians to explain the dreams for them and coming to Christ as their personal Savior. It's happening. I know that what we see in the news doesn't reflect that, but that's what's happening on the ground. Amen. Alexander. FCA huddle today, round 5-ish at the baseball diamonds out here in the sports complex. Come one, come all. If you're a student between 7th and 12th grade. Bob. Fall colors have popped. They most certainly have, and we praise God for that. And all the work that that means outside so you can take a hot shower after you're full and covered with leaf dust. I can't see. Amber. Dale Melgrim, pastor of Trinity Free in McIntosh, passed away recently. Just pray for him and his family and his congregation. Stacy? Homecoming week, B begins tomorrow with all the fun activities at school. Please don't wear your holy pajamas there. Coronation and all. Tanya. Oh, my goodness. Jordy turns 4 tomorrow. You're getting so big. Anyone else? Let us pray together. Almighty God, we are blessed to be your sons and daughters in this place. And Lord, we don't know exactly when those memories will pop on us. Maybe some of our teenagers here are treating their parents very poorly and saying some mean, harsh things. And they don't think they are. But maybe 20 years from now, they'll remember. And the devil will use that just to shake them up. We thank you for their faith and their love for you. We pray that they would turn to you even now as a redeemed people. Father, for those of us who are 20 years later, remembering how we treated each other, our families, we pray that we would remember that you were there and be grateful for your mercy. I thank you for all of those of your children who have been at sea at the pole this past week. Thank you that Michaela at Winnie Mac could be part of that, and others here in Fertile, just to be a witness by standing and praying. Lord, we know that that's not an easy thing, because it identifies us as followers of Christ, and then people begin to watch and expect us to be perfect, and we're not. And so we continue to pray for our schools and for our students and